Well, I just want to thank all of you ladies for giving not only me, but some of the ladies that came with me the opportunity to be here. And I realized how hungry some of the ladies in our own church were for that those fellowship opportunities when so many of them showed an interest in coming today. So I was really blessed to have them come and to be able to share this time with you guys and with them as well. So thank you for having us come. Thank you, Aileen. Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. So I'm going to be sharing today on our thoughts. And we're going to be going to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. That will be our main text, but we are going to be moving around a little bit. So we can start there. So I'm just going to say a word of prayer before we go into this. Lord God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you just for giving us the opportunity to freely gather here and to study it, to apply it to our lives, Lord. I thank you for all these women who are here who are hungry to hear from you. And Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to encourage one another. Lord, would you guide us as we seek for more opportunities to do that and to bring what we learn here back to our families and to those that we see on a daily basis, Lord. Just speak through your word, and I pray that you would guide me. In Jesus' name, amen. So, well, no one really knew what I was going to share today, but I have to say that last song was a perfect introduction. Thank you, ladies. I was so blessed by the ministry of your music with us, and that piece, that song, was just very, very fitting for what I'm going to be sharing today. So I was thankful the Lord led you to that song. You know, I was thinking, why does it matter what we think about? You know, aren't my thoughts my thoughts? You know, nobody else is inside my head. It's just me and God. Can I think about what I want to think about? And if you take that and you really start to absorb that and see where our thoughts lead us, I think you can easily conclude that it is very important what we think about. If you think of your mind and your thoughts as a train, how often we start out on the right track and, you know, maybe we get up in the morning and you spend some time in the Word of God. You spend a little time in prayer and you ask the Lord, you know, help me today to be in the right place, to think the right things. And you can start out on the right track. But how quickly throughout our day, because of just maybe circumstances that arise, we can so quickly shift tracks and be careening out of control before we know it. We're a train wreck waiting to happen sometimes. And it's very important that we set our minds and keep our minds throughout the day on the right track. To have a one-track mind, so to speak, sometimes that can be a good thing when we're on the right track. And if you want to carry that analogy out a little bit, I would see the conductor of the train as being the Holy Spirit and keeping us on the right track. Without a conductor, a train just goes out of control. Before you know it, you're just picking up speed and you're racing down the track out of control, and you're going to damage something along the way. If it's not you, it's somebody else who gets in your path. And so we need the Holy Spirit to be our conductor throughout the day. We also need the Word of God. I think of the Word of God as kind of the coal that fire that keeps burning, that keeps us moving in the right direction. And it fuels us. And prayer is kind of what keeps it all together. You know, it keeps the train together so we're not derailing somewhere along the line. We have to constantly being in prayer throughout our day. Steve and Aileen came and came to Dover Foxcroft and visited us a few weeks ago. It was a privilege to have them and their family, and our kids had a great time together. They're waiting for the next time. And we were just chatting, and my husband, I don't even know how it came up in the conversation, but he got talking, and I have to say he's right, because so many times I'll start a project, and before I know it, I'm off doing something else. Now, he had me in the, he gave the example of me being in the closet cleaning something, and I come across a box of photos, and before you know it, I'm absorbed in, you know, looking through photos or something. But I find on a daily basis, I'll start out in the kitchen, I'll be doing dishes or something, and I'll think, oh, that's right, I need to go down to the freezer, and I need to get some chicken or something out of there for dinner. And I'll go downstairs, and along the way, I'll notice, oh, yeah, I need to stoke the fire while I'm down here. So I'll do that. And then, oh, yeah, wait a minute. I think the wash is ready to go into the dryer. So while I'm down here, I'll do that too. And then, oh, yeah, wait a minute. I forgot. I need something out of the pantry. So I'll grab that while I'm down here. I'll get back upstairs, and I never went and got the thing that I went for. And I don't know how – does anybody else do that? Okay, good. I'm good company then. Because I find that throughout my day, I'm constantly, I'll have to go back to where the thought first came. And I'll have to start all over again and think, now, wait a minute. What was I thinking? What was I doing that brought me off track before I got there? And that's kind of how we have to do with ourselves. We'll find that we're just way out there somewhere, and we don't even know how we got there. And we have to go back and re-examine what brought us to that place. You know, our thoughts affect everything about us. Our attitudes, the decisions that we make, the feelings that we have, and ultimately our actions when we carry that thought out to completion. It affects our physical bodies. How many people have physical ailments because of stress and worry and things that absorb our minds and steal our joy and our peace away? Heart palpitations and nervousness and upset stomach. Sometimes our thoughts will also make us really self-conscious. We'll be re-examining everything we said and everything we did. Oh, did I do that right? Or did I offend someone? Or, you know, we can go down that rabbit trail sometimes and just be so self-conscious of everything that we say and everything we do. We can begin to believe lies. We start our minds when we allow them to head down the wrong path, we begin to doubt God's word. We begin to forget his love and his faithfulness and his promises to us. And before we know it, we're discouraged, depressed, despondent, disgruntled, disobedient, deceived, and disillusioned. Maybe not all at once, but at least a few of those. And so, you know, like that train, we need to continually get our minds back on the right track. And so I hope through what I share this morning, I will be able to share from God's word some ways to continue to keep our minds on the right track. I always think of David in the Psalms as being a perfect example of someone who had to continually do that. And as you read through the Psalms, you know that he went through many trials in his life, some the result of his own sin and many the result of other people's sin. And as you read through so many of the Psalms, I think particularly of Psalm 42, and when he says, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? You know, yet hope in God, and I will yet praise him." He had to continue to fight those feelings and those thoughts and bring himself back in alignment with the truth. And that's what we need to do, because it's the truth that will set us free. It's the truth that will keep us on the right track. And of course, we know that the truth is found in God's word. Martha Washington was quoted as saying, "I'm determined to be cheerful and happy in whatever situation I may be, for I have learned from experience and the greater part of our happiness or misery depends on our dispositions and not on our circumstances. We carry the seeds of the one or the other about with us in our minds wherever we go." So I thought that's a really good way to put it. You know, we carry the seeds of that in our mind. We can let our mind go crazy and think of all the negative things and go down that path, or we can choose to set our minds on God's word and choose not to allow those circumstances to dictate the way we feel and the way that we react and the way we do things. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul said something very similar. He said, "I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Now, that doesn't mean our circumstances are going to change. A lot of times they don't. But what we do with our thoughts and where we let them go can determine how we handle those circumstances. So the question is, how do we keep our minds on the right track? And how do we experience that peace of God that we just sang about in that song? How do we keep in that quiet, that still place, and keep our minds where they need to be? So I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3. Now, in this chapter, Paul is addressing some accusations that have been brought up against him. We're not really going to delve into that today, but this is kind of his answer to some of those questions that have been brought against him. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Now, we're going to take this apart as we go through this, but the first point that I want to bring us to is that it says that we do not war according to the flesh. So that means we're in a war. We're in a battle. Okay, so that's the first step, is realize that you're in a battle. There's a battle going on for our minds all the time. You know, sometimes you ever get this kind of feeling, oh, I'm just having a really down day, or maybe a down week. Maybe it's, you may blame it on, well, it's just that time of month, or, you know, things just aren't going real great right now, and you kind of just shrug it off. I'll get through it. It's just a feeling. We need to not ignore that. That there's oftentimes, we do have physical things. We have hormones that go on, and those are real things too. But we also need to realize that there's a battle going on. And Satan will use even those hormones to get the better of us. Let's not blame it on the hormones. We can, with God's power, we can even get through those things. And there's a tug of war, so to speak, going on in our minds between God's spirit and Satan for control of our thoughts. And so we need to realize that that's going on. And when we start feeling pulled in these directions and our emotions are all out of whack and we're thinking about things and we're allowing it to control and consume us, that's when we need to stop. Maybe you might have had a thought triggered by an unpleasant experience. I mean, all of us probably have things that happen. Maybe you've recently lost a loved one. Maybe you're going through a difficult financial time. Maybe you're just someone in your family struggling in some way, or you're struggling. Or maybe it's just something simple. You've had an unpleasant encounter with someone. I recently was at the grocery store, and I kind of had this happen to me. I was chatting with the lady who was bagging my groceries, and she was putting my things in the cart, and as I'm getting ready to go, the person behind me, their groceries are starting to come down to the end, and she's bagging theirs, and she starts putting their groceries in my cart. And I've caught on, and I realized what was happening, and I said, "Wait a minute, those aren't my groceries." And so I start to hand them to the lady behind me, and she's made a kind of a snippy remark, "Well, I'd really like to have my own groceries," kind of thing, you know, and I was like, "Well, I'm really sorry, you know, here you go, this is your stuff," and it was all these big big bags of bottles of juice. Well, I happened to have a bag in my cart that looked like a bottle of juice, too. So here I hand it to her, and here's one more, and I hand it over, and she looks in it. That's not juice. And she hands it back. It was a bottle of Pine Sol cleaner. Not exactly juice, not what I'd want to recommend giving the kids. And I said, well, you have to admit it does kind of look like juice. I tried to just make light of it, and she kind of made a snippy remark back, well, doesn't really look like juice. And, you know, I thought, well, you know, what's her problem? You know, she must be having a bad day or something. But, you know, that kind of nagged at me for a while. I thought, now, what did I do to deserve that? I was trying to be nice, you know, trying to make light of it, trying to be cheerful. And here, I couldn't do anything right, even though I was trying to help her. Everything was like a rude comment back, you know. And then I got thinking, well, maybe I should go over to her in the parking lot and apologize. You know, I didn't really do anything to her, but maybe I should. And then I chickened out, and I didn't. And then so I beat myself up about that. And I thought, oh, you wimp, you know, you couldn't even go over there. Maybe the Lord made that happen so you could have had an opportunity to talk to her or something, you know. And I blew that opportunity. And so you see how your mind starts taking you down the path. And then, you know, I started thinking, this woman is unhappy. What's going on in her life that she's that miserable, that little thing upset her so much? And then I thought, you know what, I need to pray for this lady, because there's something in her heart that's not right. And there's something that she's going through, or maybe she's had a really bad day. I don't know. But we need to shift our thoughts. And, you know, we can allow those little things to just ruin a whole morning or ruin a whole day. I know there's sometimes people who will tell you a story of some guy that maybe cut them off in traffic 15 years ago. And you're thinking, you know, I'm sure that guy didn't even know you cut him off in traffic 15 years ago or whatever, cut you off. So we need to give those things over and not let them control us. And not, you know, carry those extra burdens. What it really comes down to sometimes when we allow those things to consume us, and for me, be offended when someone has done something to us like that. You know, I had a little bit of an overinflated value on myself. So what? So what if she was snippy to me? You know, does it really matter? Am I that, you know, wonderful that I, you know, don't say anything to me kind of thing, you know? So we want to keep that in perspective. And I think it will help us not be as easily offended. So first of all, again, we need to realize that there's a battle going on, whether it's the little thing at the grocery store or it's the big thing that you're going through right now. There is a battle going on for control of our mind and where we're going to let that go. The second thing is that in this battle, we don't want a war according to the flesh. Although the battle goes on in our fleshly body, and we are here physically, we need to remember, as Ephesians 6:12 tells us, that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So that lady wasn't my problem. You know, maybe in your home, maybe it's a difficult marriage, maybe it's a relationship with someone else. That person isn't the enemy. That's not where the battle is. There's a spiritual battle that's going on. And going back to the analogy of the train, we don't want to be like the little engine that could, you know, read that story to your kids or have it read to you as a kid. I think I can. And, you know, that I can overcome this by just thinking positive or just, you know, doing it in my own power. Because we have no power in and of ourselves. The battle belongs to the Lord. And so if I just try to fight it in my flesh, I'm going to fall flat on my face every time. I'm going to find myself right back there again, over and over again. And so we don't want to be like the little engine that could, thinking we can do it in ourselves, because that's exactly what Satan wants us to think. Oh, this is little. You can handle that. No big deal. Well, no. The Bible says, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. So we need to go to him for our strength. I recently was sharing in our ladies' Bible study. We've been doing Nancy Lee DeMoss' Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. And we were kind of talking about some of these things, about our feelings and our emotions and the way we think. And the question was brought up, is the initial thought a sin? Let's say you have a bad thought. Let's say you have a negative thought about someone, or you start to worry about something. Is that initial thought a sin? And I have to go back to what God's word says. And it says in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, that each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So our choice is, where it becomes sin in our thoughts is what we do with it. That initial thought may pop into your head, but what are you going to do with it is the choice that we have. So, you know, are we going to choose to fantasize about it? Are we going to choose to scheme a plan? Are we going to, you know, just think on that thing all day long till we're just so miserable that we just can't stand ourselves anymore? Or are we going to give it to the Lord? You know, when we allow our thoughts to take us in that direction, we begin to doubt everything that God has given us in his word. We begin to think what we have isn't good enough. We begin to compare ourselves with other people. We begin to think, well, if only, you know, this and or that would happen, or only if I was married to this person instead of this person, or if my kids would just listen to me, or if my pastor would do this, or whatever, my friend hadn't said that, I'd be happy. Or if my I wish my finances were more secure right now, you know, and we begin to dwell on our financial situation or our health or whatever circumstance it is that we, you know, think that we want to change. And so we need to stop it before we go down that trail. Because once you get going down that, don't you notice you start picking up momentum? And then if you have a friend who likes to go down that path too, and you kind of call them to get a little affirmation for how you're feeling. Well, that was so, I know that was so rude. I can't believe that person said that to you. And then, you know, you feel like you're justified in your thinking. And it begins to take you further down on that path. So, you know, we want to remember that it is a battle, but it's not a battle that we can fight with our own willpower, with our own strength. It's a battle that belongs to the Lord, and it can only be won with the spiritual resources that he has given us. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. James 4:7-8 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So it's through Christ. We can't resist the devil on our own. What happens first? Submit to God. Draw near to God. He's the one who gives us the strength to resist those temptations. So realize that you're in a battle. Realize that we can't fight the battle for our minds and our own strength. And thirdly, remember we have mighty weapons that are able to pull down strongholds. And here in 2 Corinthians 10, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So it says here that our weapons are mighty and that they are able to pull down strongholds. Now, what is a stronghold? I looked it up. It says it's anything on which one relies. It's of the argument and reasoning by which a disputant endeavors to fortify his opinion and defend it against his opponent. I came up with my own definition after that because that one kind of confused me a little. As I thought about it, I thought it's a thought that has fortified itself within our minds that needs to be removed by force. A stronghold. It's something that you've allowed to build up in your mind to a place that it physically, not physically, but spiritually, has to be removed, broken down, and destroyed so it doesn't consume you and take over. Of course, we all are familiar with Ephesians chapter 6, that we have a great arsenal at our disposal, the armor of God. And we do. We have many weapons there. Some are offensive and some are defensive weapons. We have the belt of truth. And again, the truth, going back to the truth. Sometimes our minds are plagued with lies, things that are not true at all, and yet we find ourselves believing them. We hear them all the time. Wherever we go, on the news, on the radio, society itself, even among Christian circles, we hear things that aren't really true sometimes, and we begin believing them. Well, I can't help it because, or whatever it may be. So we need to resist those lies with the truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness, realizing that, yeah, I did blow it. I do fail. I do mess up. But it's not my righteousness, though. It's God's righteousness. So do I need to walk around in self-condemnation and depressed all the time because I messed up? We go back to it's God's righteousness. It's what Christ did for us. And be reminded again that he forgives us when we come and we repent. He will forgive us. We have the shoes of the gospel of peace. Again, going back to peace, that peace that passes all understanding, that can only be found in Christ. And it's the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings peace, not the false peace that the world wants to give us. Here's a little bit of peace. Take this pill. You know, go do this program. Do this or that. That's not the real peace. Jesus said his peace is not the world's peace, and it can be found in him. We have our shield of faith, which, of course, quenches the fiery darts of the devil. You know, we need to continue to go back to the roots of our faith and remember all the promises that we have in God's word. The helmet of salvation, I always think of that kind of guarding our minds, protecting us against all these other lies that are out there. The sword of the Spirit, again, being the word of God that we go to for comfort and allows us to fix our minds back on the truth, just like we talked about King David doing. Prayer is the key, though. We have all these things, but we can't just will ourselves to have all these things. God has given them to us freely. But yet I believe it's the prayer that helps us to put it on and to keep it on and to use it appropriately. And so when we feel like we're weak, and I know my sword's there, I know the word of God's there, but I'm just too weak to pick it up, we need to cry out to him. We need to say, you are the source of my strength. Help me to resist these thoughts, to resist the battle, you know, for my mind, and to go to those resources that the Lord has given us. And you may find yourself having to do that over and over and over and over again. That's okay. Just don't stop going back to the Lord. You may have to refute those lies and keep putting the truth back in. But it's a battle, and you can conquer it in Jesus Christ as you continue to remind yourself of the truth. And that's what King David had to do. You read through the Psalms, how many times he felt like he was about to give up, that it was just his enemies have overcome him, and it's just not worth fighting anymore. and that he would just keep going back to what God said. Yet I will praise you. Yet I will, you know, I will go back to the truth of what God's word is. Philippians 4 tells us in verses 6 through 8, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So again, it's the prayer, the supplication, and praising him even when we don't feel like it. I don't feel like praising you right now, God. I'm angry about something, or I'm upset about something. But we find when we do it, regardless of how we feel, that eventually the feelings come in time. We may not feel like praising right now, but I'm going to do this, God, because I know it's right and I know you deserve it. You're worthy of it. And I'm going to do it anyway. And then in time, the feelings will come. But they don't come right initially, usually. We can't go by how we feel. That verse continues to go on in verse 8 to tell us what we are to think about. The things that are true and noble and just, pure and lovely and of good report. And the things that are of good virtue and praiseworthy, we're to meditate on those things. If we really practically did that every day and we were not just refuting it when the bad thought comes, we do need to do that. But if we started out, like it says, meditating on that and asking God, fill my mind with these things today. And maybe it would help you. It does me sometimes. Have some verses that you're thinking about. Have them on your bathroom mirror. Maybe have one in your couple in your purse or in your Bible or in the car somewhere where they can be a reminder to you. You may not have time to whip your Bible out every time that thought comes, but if you've got your arsenal kind of around the house scattered where you can see it and be reminded of the truth, to have that there ready and, wow, there it is in my bathroom on my mirror. You know, there's that reminder. And then, you know, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, God's Spirit is there with us all the time, reminding us. And when you start to go down that path, it's like you get this little nudge from the Spirit. Are you sure you should be going down there? No, we can push it away and we can ignore it. And sometimes we do that for a while. But, you know, he's long-suffering and he keeps bringing that back. Don't ignore it. You know, I usually know when my attitude's off. And I might resist it for a little while. And then I'm like, oh, okay. I know I need to go apologize for that thing I said or that attitude I had towards my children or my husband or whatever. And don't allow it to build up. Get that cleared out and let the Holy Spirit remind you to continue to give those things to him. You know, and then look at this room. We've got each other. You know, you're not in this battle alone. We're all fighting the same battle, so let's fight it together. You know, I'm sure probably all of you have at least one sister in the Lord that you can call and say, will you pray for me? I don't have the strength to pray myself right now. I don't even know what to pray. But will you pray for me? And I always encourage the ladies in our church to do that. You know, don't be afraid to pick up the phone and say help. We don't always know when each other are struggling. And sometimes we can fool each other for a little while even. You know, so don't be afraid, because chances are that it may not be tomorrow or the next day, but that person is going to go through a struggle too, and they're going to need somebody to pray for them. So don't feel like I'm always the one everybody's praying for. They're probably going to need to come. You're going to need to go to somebody at some point too, and them to you. So let God use you to bless and minister to each other. You can, if you have a note paper and you want to jot this down, I've been trying to remind myself and my children at home to this little thing. It's that to take the letters of the word think before you speak. And the T would stand for, is it true? You know, as we're talking about what things to think about, and what we think comes out of our mouth. So if we're thinking it and we think about it long enough, it's eventually going to come out. So before we speak, to try to get in the habit of saying, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? So that's true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind. Probably cut out a few hundred words during the day, wouldn't it? So it takes practice. I'm not there yet. I'm still working on it. So lest you think that every word that comes out of my mouth is always edifying and glorifying, that is not the case. I'm working on this too with you guys. But we all need to be reminded. So fourthly, the last point, is once we realize there's a battle and we realize we can't fight it in our flesh and we realize that we have spiritual weapons at our disposal to help us to fight that battle, last part is to cast them down and take them captive. Again, it says casting down arguments in verse 5, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So cast them down and take them captive. To cast down requires some action. It's to forcefully pull down and destroy. You don't want those remains coming back again. You know, you want to pretty much obliterate them. Over and over again, we have to do that until it's gone. We can't stop fighting. We have to keep pressing on, keep casting them down. And it says every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, I don't know why, but, you know, I've been familiar with this passage for a while, but I've never really thought about that particular part of it. Every high thing that it exalts itself against the knowledge of God. To exalt itself. That's pride. Are my thoughts so valuable that, you know, I get to keep them from God? You know, are my thoughts higher than his thoughts? It's not what the Word of God says. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways higher than my ways. And when I hold on to those things, I'm really saying, you know, God, I really don't know if you can handle this one. You know, I think that I've got a few good ideas and I'm going to try those out. And then maybe if those don't work, I'll come back to you. You know, we've got to give those thoughts over to the Lord. We don't want them to remain fortified in our minds. We need to be willing to trust God with those thoughts, to give those to him, to realize that I don't have to worry about that. God knows. He knows about the sparrows, and he knows about the number of gray hairs on my head, as I'm getting more of those. And he knows how many I pluck out, and modifying that a little bit here. He knows what I need before I even know I need it. And so when I worry and I fret, or I am consumed with thoughts of bitterness towards someone, or, you know, God knows that person offended me, or they did something that was wrong, or they said something. He knows. And I don't need to fight that battle myself. I don't need to mull it over and over and over in my mind. But I need to bring it into captivity, to capture that, you know, it made me think of to bringing it captive is to surrender, to submit it to the Lord, and to continually lay it down at his feet. And again, it can only be done through the power that God gives us and through prayer. We can't do any of this on our own. It's only through him. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here again, our bodies being a living sacrifice, I think that includes our thoughts too. Giving that to him, there, don't keep that from him. Surrendering those thoughts to him and saying, I'm going to give this to you, God, because I know that I can't fix it, but I know that you can. And I trust you with this situation. It says that to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So how do we renew our mind? Again, it's God's word. Go back and remind yourself of the truth. And that's the weapon he's given us, is his truth. You know, the world will say one thing, but this is always going to be the same. This is always going to be true, no matter what season of life, no matter what our economy looks like, no matter what our physical health looks like, no matter how discouraging or depressing the times may get, this is never going to change. And we need to keep going back to it and renewing our minds. Have a little quote here from the book we've been reading in our Ladies Bible Study by Nancy Lee DeMoss, Lies Women Believe in the Truth That Sets Them Free. She says, in the midst of the roller coaster ride of emotions that our emotions sometimes take us on, we have to constantly bring our minds and thoughts back to the truth. The truth is, God is good, whether I feel like he's good or not. The truth is, God loves me whether I feel loved or not. The truth is, through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on my behalf, I am forgiven whether I feel forgiven or not. The truth is, God will never leave me nor forsake me. He is with me all the time, even when I feel alone and forsaken. If we want to walk in freedom, we must realize that our emotions are not necessarily trustworthy and be willing to reject any feelings that are not consistent with the truth. The truth is, regardless of what emotions are whirling around inside, by God's grace, we can choose to fix our minds on him and to trust and obey. When we do, we will experience his peace and the grace to be faithful, even through though our circumstances may not change. And oftentimes our circumstances don't change immediately, do they? And they may never change this side of heaven. But we need to remember that in God's time frame, our span of our life here is so small compared to all of eternity we have waiting for us with him. And these brief, as Peter says, brief and momentary trials may not seem that way to us. But in the end, when we look back and we're spending all of eternity with him, it won't seem that way, will it? But we have to remember that, because it doesn't feel that way, does it? A lot of times it feels it's going to go on. So I just bring you back to those four things again. Remember that you are in a battle. There's a battle going on for our minds, that we need to not fight those battles in our flesh, that we need to rely on the spiritual resources the Lord has given us, and through prayer, through his word, through each other, through his spirit, and then to just cast those thoughts down and take them captive through his power. It's a moment-by-moment choice. That's the one thing I remember from a study we did several years back called The Way of Agape, by Nancy Missler. That was the one thing that resounded through that whole study for me, is it's a moment-by-moment choice. So I might have blown it 5 minutes ago, but right now I can make that choice again. And it's taking it one moment at a time. Don't think that, you know, I prayed this morning, so I'm good for the rest of the day. No, it's moment by moment by moment. And when we blow it, then we go back and we say, God, help me to get my thoughts where they need to be. Help my attitude to be where it needs to be. And we just go on and we do it as often as we have to. And he will give us the victory. And we need to believe his word that the battle belongs to the Lord. And he will give us everything that we need in his strength and in his power. So I'll close in prayer. Lord God, I just thank you that you have given us everything that we need for life and godliness, that all that we need is found in you. Lord, you have given us a great many resources. Teach us how to use them. Teach us to depend on you and your strength rather than our own. And Lord, show us how to take these thoughts captive, to give them to you moment by moment throughout the day, Lord, that we might not be captive to our thoughts, but that we might take our thoughts captive and make them obedient to you so that we can live the life that you've called us to live. I just pray that you'd bless all these ladies, Lord, that you would be with them in their own personal struggles, Lord, the things that are weighing heavy on their hearts, Lord, that you would give them the strength to be overcomers, Lord, and to remain faithful to you, Lord. I pray that each woman here would leave blessed, and Lord, if anyone here needs prayer, they need someone to talk to or to pray with, Lord, that you would just guide them to that person, Lord, that would minister to them, that they would not leave here feeling overwhelmed, but that they would bring it to you and to the sisters that are here. I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you, Michelle. That was wonderful. Why don't we say thank you? That's great. Well, we're at the end, so if you would like to grab a little bit more something to eat or grab a cup of coffee and maybe fellowship a little bit, that'd be great, and have a wonderful rest of your day.